All right, I'll ask you to join me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I hope that song that we just sang, I hope that's true. That is quite the statement to make. And that's easier said than actually done. To rather have Jesus than anything the world can offer. And that's a... Yeah, that may be something that we have to make that decision new every day or a couple of times a day when we're tempted to prefer other things to Christ himself. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, there was a man a long time ago who was a preacher in an unpopular time to be a gospel preacher. As a matter of fact, he... refused to get a license to be a preacher from the Church of England. That was the rule. If you were going to preach, you had to get a license and do it just the way they told you how to do it. He didn't want to do that. He didn't like to do that. And so he was put into prison and ended up, I believe he was 32 when he was put into prison and stayed there for 12 years. So from the time he was 32 to 44, he was in jail because he refused to get a license, or he was in jail for preaching without a license. And when he was asked, he would not guarantee that he would stop. And so that's why he stayed in jail for so long. That is a rough time to be a preacher. What Paul is describing here is going to be some kind of rough times to be a preacher. Now, this particular man made good use of his time in jail and wrote a few things. One was an autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chiefest of Sinners. And he also got started on his most popular work and actually... didn't finish it in that first stint in jail. Stayed out for a little longer and then went back to jail for 6 months. And that's where he finished his most popular work, and that is Pilgrim's Progress. This was John Bunyan. And he wrote a bunch of other stuff. Pretty interesting character, actually. A couple of things that I didn't realize about him. He served in the military. His job eventually was tinkerer. I had to look that up. I didn't know that was an actual job, to be a tinkerer. My family, we come from a long line of tinkerers that like to raise the hood and tinker around. I don't think they're accomplishing anything, but it was just what we called it, tinkering. But it was an actual job of it was an itinerant job where you go around to people's houses and you're a tin smith, and so you fix their utensils and their things around the house, and you tinker around and you fix stuff. And that's part of what he did before he was a preacher. But at an unpopular time when your preaching of the truth is not accepted, it's not a popular thing to preach the truth. Way back even before John Bunyan, there was another man that was told, this is what I want you to preach, and just so you know, they're not going to listen to what you have to say. And that was Jeremiah, the prophet. Just listen to the Lord tell Jeremiah how this is going to go. In Jeremiah 7, verse 27, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. And that's a rough thing to tell a preacher. Okay, here's your message. I want you to do this. I want you to preach this faithfully, but they're not going to listen to you. Matter of fact, They're not going to listen to you to the point to where they will persecute you. they're going to throw you into prison or a cistern because they don't like what you're saying. And that is something that Paul is sort of warning Timothy of in this passage, of a time where it's not going to be popular anymore to tell people the truth. And he sort of says it in a way that's sort of future to Timothy, but it's something that's really common in every era, that people get to where they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what God actually has to say. They want to hear something else. And so let's look at our passage, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm just going to start on verse 1. It's kind of one whole passage. We'll go through verse 1 to verse 5. We're going to cover verses 3 through 5 or so, depending on how far we can get. But that's going to be our focus. And so starting in verse 1, he says, I charge thee, therefore, before the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For, this is our passage, and in verses 3 and 4, I want you to look for something. I want you to look for the words will or shall. He's going to give four things that these people will do. Will or shall. Just I want you to pick those out. And kind of see what he's telling Timothy here. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So we have this passage, this warning to Timothy, this charge to preach the word, to do this in season, out of season, to be faithful in doing this, to be careful in his instruction. Why? Well, there's going to come a time where they're going to reject the truth. They're not going to listen to you. So you give them the truth as long as you can, as best as you can. But just so you know, it will come a time where they will not. They're not going to listen. We'll go to all four things of what they're going to do. But really, in our day, there's no lack of preachers that are available to us 24/7. You can find it online, you can find it on the radio, you can find it on TV. You can find whatever flavor of preacher you want to find. If you're a charismatic person, you can find a charismatic preacher. If you're a dull person, you can find a dull preacher. You're here tonight, so that's proof of that. So if you want to find a short one, there's some short ones. If you want to find a tall one, there's some tall ones. There's soft-spoken ones, loud ones that, you know, the foam starts to come out of the corners of their mouth. They're yelling and screaming. If you want to find one of those, you can find one of those. They're just a plethora of preachers out there. And so the temptation, and I want to mention this as we get started, the temptation for God's people is to pick and choose, okay, I like this one, so I want to listen to this one. And part of that may be okay until it gets to the point to where this preacher is saying things that make me feel good, and that's why I like to listen to this person. And then we're getting into issues, and we'll see that in a second. But there is no shortage. And we'll see what these people are doing, and as I was studying this, I wanted to make the application to these people. See, this is the problem. They're doing these things, and they're rejecting the truth, but this is not written to them. Paul is not writing to these people. He's saying they're going to do this, but who he's writing to is Timothy. what is the preacher supposed to do? What is the minister supposed to do in a time where the message of truth is not popular? And that is really the gist of this passage. And so let's look first at verses 3 and 4 at the characteristics of this unpopular time. They shall, or they will, do four things. The first one is they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not put up with healthy teaching. That's what this means. This word endure is most of the time translated suffer. Jesus says this a bunch of times. How long will I suffer you? Or how long will I put up with you? And maybe you have a parent like mine that said, I'm not going to put up with this. If you keep doing this, I'm not going to put up with you, you know, whatever activity we might have been doing that was wrong. But that's the idea. To endure this, what they are going to do is stop putting up with sound teaching, with sound doctrine. This word sound, we've talked about it before, has the idea of healthiness. If you ever go and buy a bull for your herd, I know lots of you probably going out there searching right now, looking for a bull. But if you were going to do that, maybe at an auction or something like that, they would have to go through a series of tests. The bulls have to be tested, for several different things. And some diseases, effectiveness, all of these things. And those tests would be presented at this sale. And the auctioneer usually is the one talking. He would say, this bull is sound. And they still use that word. He's sound. And there's proof. He's been tested and he's healthy. Healthy from visible defects and also invisible defects. Because most of these things that they're tested for, you wouldn't be able to see. A nice looking bull, it might be totally unhealthy on the invisible parts. And so that's the idea of this doctrine, this teaching that these people will stop putting up with is healthy teaching. Teaching that is biblical. Teaching that is the truth. Teaching that pinpoints problems in your life. Teaching that confronts you with the standard and shows you where you're not meeting that standard. That's what sound teaching is. And there's going to come a time, he says, when they will not put up with that. They're going to reject that. As a matter of fact, the second they shall is they shall heap to themselves teachers. They're going to pile up teachers, and there's two kind of qualifiers of who they start to heap up. These teachers and where this desire to heap these people up comes from. And that says, but after their own lust, in accordance with their own desires, their own lust, that's who they're looking for to speak to them. Not what God says, not what God wants to do in their lives, but what their desires are. What do I want to hear? And I'm going to find a teacher or a preacher that's going to speak to that. And it's going to tell me what I want to hear. And my own desires, my own lusts are the standard for who I'm going to listen to. That is a dangerous place to be. And you can find them out there. I know we pick on Joel Osteen. We do that because he's a false teacher. That's why we bring his name up. And his church is some 44,000 people on a weekly basis. He will tell you what makes you feel good. And it's always in the same tone. It's always kind of the same message. God loves you. And there's nothing wrong with you. You just go out and live your best life. Send us some money and you'll be fine. And thousands upon thousands of people want to hear that. And so they listen to it. And it's been going on for years and years and years. And so this is the desire. It's whatever I want, that's what I want to listen to. And again, we have to be a little bit careful because there are certain pastors, certain preachers that speak effectively into our lives. They can speak the truth in a way that we understand and it does something to us. That's not what we're rejecting. That's not what these people were doing. What these people were doing is saying, I want what I want, and I'm going to find some teacher out there that will tell me that that's okay. And that's the problem. So that's the first sort of standard. And so it's in accordance with my own desires, my own lusts. Then the second one is they're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. The teachers are not having itching ears. The people are having itching ears. Now, what does that mean? They're wanting their ears tickled. That's the phrase. If you have an itch that needs to be scratched, sometimes that will preoccupy your mind so much. I like to have my back scratched, not just by anybody. My wife is the only one that does it. Okay, but it makes me feel like I'm, you know, a warm hug whenever I get my back scratched. And she's got those nails, and that's great. But every so often there is a spot that I need some, you know, some major scratching, okay? And I got to get to a doorway or something, or find my claw thing that I've got in my dresser that really get that itch scratched. This is the idea of what these people, they have a desire. They have something that they want in their ears, and they want that tickled. They want that scratched. They want, in their ears, they want to be pleased. Not in their heart, they don't want the word of God to speak to their heart. They want something to talk to their ears that makes them feel better. This is what Timothy is being warned of, that, okay, you've got these people, they're going to stop listening to sound teaching, and then they're going to start heaping to themselves these teachers that tell them what they want to hear. One commentary described this heaping. He says, perhaps this heaping up may show itself in a succession of pastors, one right after the other. And maybe you've known people like this. They go to a church for a while until they figure out this is not what I want to hear. So then they go to another one. That could be a succession of pastors. Or in much outward show with many teachers. I listen to all these people on the radio. I listen to all these preachers and teachers. I must be spiritual. And in reality, they're just trying to pile up an excess of teachers that are telling them what they already want to hear. Or these hearers may become church tramps. This is what he calls it in this commentary. Church tramps. Going from one to another in search of something new. And I would add something not just new, but something pleasing. Something that pleases them to their ears and stops talking to their heart and to their true self. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is true. And when we truthfully compare ourselves to the Word of God, it is not typically a pleasing thing, because we see ourselves in reality then, and we understand that something has to change. The Word of God is not going to change. That's the perfect standard. And if we're unwilling to change, we got to find some other person to tell us that we're okay. Otherwise, we have to align ourselves with the Scriptures. That's the uncomfortable part. And many people reject that. They don't want to hear what the truth is. They don't want to see the perfect standard. They want to just know that they're okay. And that is that's the day in which we live. That's what Timothy had to look forward to. And so we have these folks that they won't put up with sound teaching. They heap to themselves teachers, And then number three, they turn away from hearing the truth. That is in verse 4, they shall turn away from their ears from the truth. Now, there was a saying when I was a kid, I guess back in the 90s, and I want to see if you can finish it. We would do this, and it's really stupid. It's dumb, but if you're talking to somebody and they would say, "Talk to the hand." She I could tell Ashley was saying finishing the phrase, and she actually did the head bobbing because it has to go with the phrase. What's the end of the phrase? Talk to the hand. Because the face ain't listening, or you know, face or the ears ain't listening. Then you got to do the head bob because you got to have attitude when you do that. That's the idea of what these people are doing. I'm not listening. I'm turning my face away from hearing the truth, and that's what he's describing. They're not turning their face away from hearing a bad preacher. They're not turning their face away from hearing just a guy that is not clear. That's not what they're doing. They're turning their ears away from the truth. It's not about how the preacher sounds or what the preacher's mannerisms are or the fact that he only stands at the pulpit or the fact that he runs around the platform. That's not the thing. The thing that they're turning their ears away from is the truth. And that's the problem that this is. This is the opposite of what we might see in the Psalms where David or the psalmist might say to incline my ears, to lean in. And you can see this, especially as you get older, you have one good ear and one bad ear. And if somebody's speaking, you kind of lean in the good ear, right? So you can catch what they're saying. This is the opposite of that. Where you might turn away your ears from the truth. You don't want to hear the truth. You don't want to know the standard. You just want to be okay. The opposite of that is to lean in and to take that truth in and to apply it to your life and allow it to make a difference. That is what this minister, Timothy, is going to have to deal with, people that are turning away from the truth. And then the last one is they're going to turn aside to fables or to myths. This turning aside is a very interesting word. It has a medical use of being wrenched out of place or dislocated. That's I have a friend I grew up with, and his shoulder was like regularly being popped out of socket. I think it was his shoulder or maybe his elbow. He, in Little League, he pitched all the time. And I don't know, one time his arm went out of socket, and it was a really big deal. But it seems like after it happens once, I don't know, something loosens up where it's kind of happening regularly to the point to where he and his parents knew just, okay, pop it back in and you go on and play and do whatever you're going to do. I was like, oh, man, it's terrible. But this is the idea where you're turning aside, you're twisting a limb. If you've ever eaten fried chicken like a wing, okay, that's like two pieces. And when you go to pull that apart, or maybe it's a leg and a thigh together, you start to twist and wrench that out. That's the idea of this turning aside to fables. It's a dislocation from the truth. I ought to be tied to the truth, but I hate it so bad that I'm willing to dislocate myself towards something else. Toward these fables. And the word fables is myths. This is a story. This is an invention of somebody else. This is a falsehood that these people are running towards. And this idea of fables is something that Paul really, really speaks to Timothy a lot about. It's actually translated this four times, this Greek word, fables or myths, happens four times in the New Testament, and three of those times is to Timothy. chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Chapter 4 and verse 7, later on in this chapter, back in 1 Timothy, he says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. That's the idea, these myths. Then Titus, he actually says, not giving heed to Jewish fables. Peter mentions it as well, of how we're not to follow cunningly devised fables. These are inventions of people, made up things that sound better to us than the truth and better to these people. And they were rejecting the truth, embracing these made up things, these invented things that make them feel better. And so these are the characteristics of these unpopular times. What is a minister to do then in these unpopular times when his message of truth is being rejected? What is Timothy supposed to do? Well, that's in verse 5. But you, in contrast to that, you do these other things. And there are four commands here for Timothy. And we're not gonna go through all four commands because we're just not gonna do that. So what I think we're gonna do is just kind of overview this a little bit. He says, watch thou. This has the idea of keeping your head when things are going crazy. Watch out. Endure afflictions. Paul likes this phrase in 2 Timothy here. We've talked about that quite a bit. But to bear up under this, to deal with it, do the work of an evangelist. And we'll talk about this next time. But the idea is really to go back to the basics. If you're dealing with people that are rejecting the truth, go back to the basics of the gospel and share the hope of the gospel with these people. And that is part of the fix for this, or at least the reaction. And then he says to make full proof of thy ministry, to fill out your ministry. You have a ministry here. You cannot neglect this. You must double down and fill this out, complete your ministry. Don't give up, don't throw in the towel, don't start neglecting things. Actually, add in energy and complete the ministry that God has called you to do. And so the message really has two applications. We've only covered the first half here, and that is to God's people. Don't be like this. Don't just listen to what you like to listen to. Listen to the truth. That's where you ought to be. The truth is going to make you uncomfortable sometimes, and it ought to. If you are listening to a preacher or a pastor on the radio or online or wherever, and he makes you feel uncomfortable because you think it's not true, then stop listening to that. But if it makes you feel uncomfortable because you're not right, then that's where you ought to lean in. Instead of leaning away and rejecting that, lean in and see, okay, is this actually biblical, what he's saying? Is this the standard of truth? And am I not matching to this standard? If I'm not, then I need to repent of that and align myself with the truth. That ought to be our reaction. And that's not a natural reaction that we normally have. And so that's part of the application. Don't be like these guys. But for Timothy, understand that this is going to happen. This is why you must preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Exercise yourself in rebuking, reproving, teaching, going back to the truth, constantly going back to the word of God and allowing it to be the standard for what we do. And so we'll cover verse 5 and these commands to Timothy during this unpopular time next time. And so put a bookmark here or something, or maybe your Bible falls to this anyway, because we've been here a while. But that's what we're going to cover next time. What we're going to do this evening is instead of closing with a song, let's just stand, and we're going to close in prayer and be done.